Matthew chapter 4, where we started last week. In verse 18, Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. He said unto them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And we picked up on that statement last week. We made two observations. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. The first observation is we cannot be fishers of men unless we follow Christ. I think that's pretty obvious. He says, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. But it really stands to reason then that if we're not following him, we can't be fishers of men. He's going to make us fishers of men, and there is no other way to be a fisher of men except to be made a fisher of men by Christ, and the only way he's going to make us a fisher of men is if we follow him. And I think sometimes we want to maybe take a shortcut. You know, we kind of like the idea of being a fisher of men, but we don't really surrender ourselves to Christ like we need to in order to become a fisher of men. And so he says, follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. And then turn that around a little bit. If we're not a fisher of men, then we're not following Christ. Again, he says, if you follow me, I will make you a fisher of men. That's not a maybe. That's not a, down the road. No, he says, I will make you a fisher of men. So if we're not a fisher of men, then evidently we're not following him. So the only way we can be a fisher of men is to follow him. And if we're not a fisher of men, we're not following him. I believe that's the two conclusions we draw from that statement. He's making this statement to fishermen. They were right there fishing in the Sea of Galilee. And then we have James and John also. And they are fishermen. And so he uses this metaphor. You're fishermen. You're fishing for fish. But I want to make you a fisher of men. Well, these fishermen would have, in their mind, realized, okay, here's what needs to be true as I'm a fisher of fish, and so here's what needs to be true if I'm going to be a fisher of men. We were just looking at some of those things last week. We said, first of all, a real fisherman is going to have a passion for fishing. Now, that's what makes the difference between those of us who enjoy fishing and a real fisherman. I enjoy fishing. I would never call myself a real fisherman. I don't have a passion for fishing. I enjoy it, and I'll go out and I'll fish, but I don't have a passion. There's some years that I don't even buy a fishing license. It's just not a driving passion of mine. We used to go up into Canada fishing some, and a group of us, and I loved it. It was a wonderful week, and I had no problem going out in that boat up there in Canada and fishing for 8-10 hours a day. I loved it. It was a wonderful vacation. But I wouldn't say I have a passion for fishing. If we're going to be a fisher of men, we have to have a passion for it. And it's Christ that's going to give us that passion as we follow him. And if we don't have that passion, we're not following him. It's a passion. It's a sacrifice. Again, those who are real fishermen, they're willing to sacrifice. Those lures aren't cheap. You got to buy those lures. You got to buy that fishing pole. You got to buy that reel. And a fisherman is willing, they don't have just one or two fishing poles. They've got all kinds of fishing poles and all kinds of reels. And they're willing to sacrifice their money to buy those things. And to buy those lures. And then, of course, you need a boat. And then you need a trailer to pull the boat. And then you need the right car to pull the trailer, to pull the boat. They're willing to make those sacrifices to be a fisherman. I remember seeing a picture up in Alaska. It was on the Kenai River, which is a famous, it's really a worldwide famous salmon fishing river up in Alaska. It's the Kenai River. And there was this log out in the river that everybody was always getting caught on and getting snagged on. And so one of the outfitters, I don't know after how many years, but they decided they were going to get that log out of there. And so I remember seeing the picture. They got, I don't know how they did it, but they got that log out of there. And this log was about this big, but it was this big, filled with lures. And it was probably probably 10 feet long. And it was just, I mean, there were thousands and thousands and thousands of lures, and that represented thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars that guys had lost on that log. It cost money, but they were willing to sacrifice because they were fishermen. If we're going to be fishers of men, we need to be willing to sacrifice for the cause of Christ and to be a witness. And then we talked about perseverance last week, the patience. A real fisherman, he's going to go out there and he's going to fish. And even if he's not catching anything, he's going to fish because he just knows that they're going to start biting any time. And they're willing to wait it out. They're willing to be patient and persevere and until those fish start to bite. And when we're going to be a fisher of men, we're not going to catch something every time we go out and witness. Every time we open up to a friend, every time we share the gospel with our friend or neighbor or co-worker or whatever, they're not going to accept Christ every time. But there's going to be a perseverance and a patience to do so. Remember what God said to Isaiah? You know the passage here in Isaiah 6 where, you know, God says, "Whom will I send and who will go for us?" And Isaiah said, "Here am I, send me." And then God says, "Okay." And Isaiah said, "How long should I go?" And remember the answer? "Until the cities be desolate." In essence, God was saying to Isaiah, you're going to fail. From a human perspective, you're going to fail. They're not going to listen to you. The nation is going to go into captivity and the city's going to be left desolate. And I want you to continue to proclaim my word until that time. Just stick with it, Isaiah, even if they don't listen to you. Because, in essence, he's telling them they're not going to. But you persevere. You continue to do it. Give them my truth. So there's that perseverance. There's also, to be a fisherman, you got to know a little bit about fish. A real fisherman will be able to look at a lure and say, okay, that particular lure is going to work good on a particular kind of fish, and it's going to work good at a particular time of day, and it's going to work good whether the water is muddy, or maybe it's going to work good if the water is clear, and all kinds of stuff. I'm not a fisherman. I don't know that stuff. I go out and that lure looks good, and I pop it on, I throw it out and see what happens. But a real fisherman knows what kind of lure to use with what kind of fish, what time of day, what kind of weather, what time of year. All of those things go into being a good fisherman. You have knowledge, and some of that knowledge you may gain by reading, some of that knowledge you may gain by experience, but you have knowledge. And if we're going to be fishers of men, we have to have some knowledge about men. We need to know their condition. We need to understand where they're coming from as far as what their thinking is. How does this unsaved man think so that I can approach him in a way that may make sense to him? And obviously we're going to gain that knowledge by experience. I'm not saying don't go out and witness until you have your PhD in theology. I'm not saying that at all. Saying get out there and start to share the gospel with others, and you will gain knowledge through that experience. You'll learn how better to approach a person. You'll learn how better to say it so that it'll make sense to them. And you spend time in God's word so that and God's word tells us what men are like. Begin to understand how men think just reading God's word. And then, of course, you have 1 Peter chapter 3 that says, be ready to give an answer to everyone that asks a reason of the hope that is in you. We need to know God's word and know his truth so that we can give answers to their questions. Again, I please don't misunderstand. I'm not saying you'll wait until you have your PhD in theology before you witness. I'm simply saying that the more you read, the more you do, the more experience, the more knowledge you gain. And certainly, I'm not saying that that a person's salvation depends upon my knowledge. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying that God can use us as we gain knowledge, as we study His Word, and as we gain knowledge by experience in witnessing. God can use us. Some people are more greatly used of God in their witness because they have gained that experience and that knowledge, and God can use them in a great way. And God can use us the more we gain in our knowledge of how to approach people. How to, and we used the term before, a faith flag. You know, you hear them say something, and that you can approach it from however, you know, at Christmas time or at Easter time especially. You know, people will say something about Easter, and what an easy way to just say, well, what do you know about Easter? Tell me what you think about Easter. And they'll tell you. And then you can say, well, here's what I think about it, and you just share the gospel. Well, just those kinds of things. You learn how to pick up on what people are saying so that you can share the gospel with them. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 for just a moment. I just want to make it clear, when I say to gain in knowledge, like a fisherman knows about fishing, knows about fish, and we need to have knowledge as well, I don't want you to misunderstand. It's not about my knowledge. It's going to win somebody to Christ. I'm simply saying God can use us as we gain in our knowledge in a very effective way. Paul was very concerned. You know, we're not going to, with our knowledge and our great wisdom, we're not going to argue somebody into salvation. And Paul was concerned about that, and here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Paul says, I didn't come with this flowery speech and this great wisdom. Paul had great wisdom, but he said, I didn't come showing off my great wisdom. "I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." That's what we need to know. That's what we need to share. We can, through experience, gain some ways in how we might be able to share that more effectively, and how we might, by experience, recognize an open door that's there when maybe in the past we haven't seen that open door, that we can go through and share Jesus Christ and Him crucified. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God." I just want to make clear that I'm not talking about arguing somebody into salvation, or with my great ability and my great wisdom and my great knowledge, I'm going to convince somebody to be saved. I'm not talking about that. I'm simply talking about gaining knowledge on how to share the gospel with others as the door opens before us. And we see that open door. And then this thought, a fisherman who catches fish is going to know how to preserve the fish. You know, you get them out of the water and you throw them on ice and you make sure that they're nice and fresh when you get home and cook them up. To preserve the fish. And these fishermen that, you know, they were commercial fishermen. That was their livelihood. They needed to know how to preserve those fish so that they could sell those fish. And when I think about preserving fish, I'm thinking about the fact that when we witness to someone and they trust Christ as their Savior, we need to follow up on them. You know, that's what the Great Commission is all about. Go into the world and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. You don't stop when they get saved. You follow up with them and you disciple them and you teach them so that they can grow in their faith. And that's what I'm talking about here when I say, as a fisherman needs to catch the fish and preserve the fish, we need to catch men and bring them to a saving knowledge of Christ and then follow up on them as they grow in their discipleship, not just to leave them and abandon them, but to follow up on them. And it's sad the amount of so-called evangelism that takes place, that all people are concerned about is getting somebody to say a prayer. And once they've said the prayer, oh man, that's wonderful, that's great, they're saved, and yet they never see that person again. They never get an address. They never follow up on that person. Never make sure that person gets... That's not what the Great Commission is all about. I hear people say sometimes, well, the only reason we're here on earth is to get people saved. Well, really? I thought the reason I was here was to glorify God. And yes, sharing the gospel and seeing people come to know Christ is part of glorifying God, but as you disciple that person and see that person grow in their faith, that's glorifying to God too. And that's why I'm here. It's not just to get people saved, it's to see people come to know Christ as their Savior and grow in their faith to the glory of God. That's what it's all about. And as we even has our vision statement, reaching out and building up and reaching out. It's about reaching out into our community, seeing people come to know Christ, building people up in the faith. That's all why we're here. And we don't just stop at seeing somebody saved. We have to also build up in the faith. And it's all to the glory of God. And then I just will conclude with this thought. A real fisherman enjoys teaching others how to fish. I've been around some that I would consider real fishermen. And you get them talking, and you know what? They enjoy talking about it, and they enjoy sharing their knowledge with you and showing you how to fish. And a real fisher of men is also going to enjoy talking about fishing for men and sharing their knowledge and helping you to become a fisher of men. And that's what we need to do as individuals and as a church. We need to be sharing with one another our fishing experiences and teaching one another how to be more effective in being a fisher of men. And that should be an enjoyment for us to talk to others about how we have shared the gospel with someone and sharing what knowledge we may have of some of those faith flags and those open doors that maybe some of us are missing. But if somebody else can point it out to us, say, you know what? That happens to me, and next time it happens to me, that's the door I'm going to go through and I'm going to share the gospel because we're talking about it. And we're teaching one another to be fishers of men as together we follow Christ. Follow me, and I'll make you a fisher of men. And so I guess I just have wanted to share some of these thoughts to encourage us as witnesses for our Savior, to be faithful in that witness, and to encourage one another in that witness, and to talk about it, and to see us grow together in being fishers of men. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for, again, this opportunity together tonight. Help us to be followers of Christ while he makes us fishers of men. I pray that we would have that passion and that willingness to sacrifice and that perseverance, and that we would gain in knowledge as we read your word and as we study your word and as we, by experience, gain in that knowledge. And help us, Father, to rejoice in those who come to know Christ as Savior and to want to see them grow in their faith. Want to see them just become even greater followers of Christ. And help us to talk to one another, encourage one another, teach one another to be fishers of men. We thank you for the privilege. Thank you for the gospel of Christ, your power unto salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening. Thanks for coming tonight.